Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to point out that this episode that you're listening to right now is actually from our spinoff podcast, The Lead Starting Five. That is our daily 10-minute sports news show. That show has its own feed with new episodes publishing there every Monday through Friday. And we'll keep airing episodes here on The Lead's feed on Mondays just to introduce more people to that show. So go check it out and subscribe if you like it. All right, here's today's episode.
And with a score of 268, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith steals the show at the Open on what looked like it was going to be Rory McIlroy's day.
Juan Soto says no to an absolutely gigantic bag of money.
And LeBron James takes the floor in LA and dominates at a high school gym. From Wondery, I'm Matt Straub.
And I'm Tate Frazier. It's Monday, July 18th, and this is Starting Five. Five sports headlines in 10 minutes.
Okay, Tate, let's get this episode underway with some golf. The 150th Open Championship did not disappoint on Sunday as mustached and mulleted Aussie Cameron Smith rallied to beat Rory McIlroy with the best final round the Old Course has ever seen to win his first major title in the final major of the season. What stood out?
Yeah, that's right, Matt. Cameron Smith's putter caught fire on the back nine Sunday as he shot a final round 64, becoming the first player ever to shoot two 64s in a major championship. And in the process, he stole the show from the crowd favorite, Rory McIlroy, who looked ready to end his own eight-year major championship drought as he took a two-shot lead into the back nine. But Smith put an end to that by going on an incredible tear, birdieing five holes in a row from 10 to 14, and as we said, hitting clutch putt after clutch putt, including this knee knocker on the famous 17th hole.
The green, crucial par putt for Cam Smith. Moves a little left. And he's done it again. Can this guy putt under pressure, Paul, or what? He has proved it.
In contrast to the great putting from Smith, McIlroy hit 18 greens in regulation on Sunday, and he two-putted every one of them. A series of missed opportunities for McIlroy as he came up just short in a major championship once again. As for Smith, he matched the major championship record to par, posting 20 under, which ties Dustin Johnson's score in the 2020 Masters and broke Tiger Woods' record of 19 under at St. Andrews. Pretty good company.
Wow.
And after his victory, the man with maybe the most famous mullet and mustache combo in the world, Cam Smith, said he intends to celebrate responsibly with the claret jug.
Well, perhaps you can tell us how you're going to celebrate tonight with the claret jug.
I'm definitely going to find out how many beers fit in this thing, that's for sure.
Smith went on to say to the media that he estimates two beers will fit into the jug, Matt, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It doesn't seem to be that robust of a jug if you look at it. And by the way, while Smith is celebrating, Rory McIlroy will be mulling over yet another close call. As you referenced, Rory, who's 33, has now played eight full seasons since his last major victory at the 2014 PGA Championship.
Wow, so the wait will continue for Rory, as that concludes all the major opportunities this season, Matt.
Ouch.
Now let's turn to a very eventful weekend in Major League Baseball, where one of the big headlines comes from the Washington Nationals, and specifically superstar outfielder Juan Soto. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic reported on Saturday that Soto rejected a 15-year, $440 million offer from the Nats, Again, that's 15 years, $440 million. Matt, what do we know about what this means for Soto and the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, that number is one you really do have to just stop and look at for a second and just take it in. And yeah. One thing we know for sure is that Soto suddenly goes from a guy who is not getting traded under any circumstances to potentially getting traded at this year's deadline, as Ken Rosenthal reports that the Nationals do plan to entertain trade offers for the 23-year-old superstar slugger. But do not tell that to Nationals manager Dave Martinez, because when he spoke on Saturday, he understandably did not sound like a guy who wanted to live in a universe where Soto plays anywhere else.
At the end of the day, you know, you're going to get what you deserve. We all know that. And you know, for me, I hope it's here, you know, because I love the kid. I don't ever think that he's anything else but a Washington National. And that's the way I'm going to view it right now. I mean, he is a Washington National.
Just a couple more aspects of this to consider. Soto won't be a free agent until after 2024, so the Nationals certainly don't have to trade him this year. And the other question here that I'm sure many of us have pondered is why and how? As in, why would you or how do you actually say no to nearly $500 million? But from far away, I think it's easy to look at that number and just see the $440 million, but at the same time, not think about the length of the contract. 15 years. I mean, that would keep Soto in DC, barring a trade, into his late 30s. That's basically every great year he has left as a baseball player, and then some. And then you factor in the trajectory that this team has been on in recent years. After winning the World Series in 2019, the Nationals have gone a combined 122 and 194, including an MLB worst 31 and 63 record this year. So while saying no to $440 million sounds kind of ridiculous in a vacuum, for Soto, this is not a vacuum. So now, Tate, we sit and wait to see if and where Soto gets traded while this saga takes up all of the air in the room leading up to the trade deadline.
Yeah, and that means we need to brace ourselves for about 2 weeks of nonstop Juan Soto rumors. The MLB trade line, if you didn't know, is just ahead on the horizon on Tuesday, August 2nd.
Buckle up. Meanwhile, as we wait for that trade deadline, the MLB draft got underway on Sunday night, and for the first time in history, the sons of former major leaguers went 1 and 2 overall, and they were not the only second-generation stars to get selected on Sunday night. So, for anyone who doesn't know, Tate, introduce us to some of these big league kids.
Yeah, Matt, baseball is looking like a family business right about now. It all started with the number one pick with the Baltimore Orioles on the clock.
With the first pick of the 2022 MLB draft, the Baltimore Orioles select Jackson Holliday, a shortstop from Stillwater High School in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Now, if that last name Holliday sounds familiar, that's because Jackson happens to be the son of 7-time All-Star outfielder and 2007 NLCS MVP, Matt Holliday.
Yeah, Tate, Matt Holliday's career just ended in 2018. I'm blown away here that his kid is already on his way toward the big leagues. This is wild.
I'm with you, and if you're feeling old, this won't help either. Uh-oh. With the second pick in the draft, the Arizona Diamondbacks selected a high school outfielder from Norcross, Georgia, by the name of Drew Jones. Mm-hmm. Now, that name might sound familiar if you're a Braves fan like Matt, because It's the son of 10-time Gold Glove outfielder Andrew Jones. Yes, you heard that right.
You're right. This is not helping, Tate. You're correct.
The other notable legacy player to join this group is electric prospect Justin Crawford, who's the son of another former star outfielder, Carl Crawford. Are you keeping up, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
The younger Crawford went 17th to the Phillies and shared a special hug with his dad, rounding out a very fun draft for the second generation of sluggers. But I have to say, it's been tough to swallow the realization that I'm getting old, though, Matt.
Yeah, Tate, I truly, truly need a second to regroup after some of my favorite players to watch as an adult now have kids who have been drafted. And by the way, another early pick that is worth mentioning is the flamethrowing right-hander and former Vanderbilt star Kumar Rocker, who went number 3 overall to the Texas Rangers. You might remember that the Mets picked Rocker at number 10 last year, but he didn't sign with New York in the midst of some injury concerns. So from there, Rocker's road took him to the Tri-City Valley Cats of the Independent Frontier League. And now back to the draft, where he was picked even higher, making him, I am sure, the first of an entire generation of players to try to make the leap from the Valley Cats to the show.
Yeah, probably not the way he planned it, but here's hoping we see him in the big league uniform sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Let's change the pace here, and specifically, let's speed up the pace, because the track and field world championships got underway on Friday in Eugene, Oregon. And on Saturday, we saw a pretty monumental achievement for the U.S. men in the signature sprint event, the 100 meters.
To is looking good. So too is Marvin Bracey Williams, but Fred Kerley, Kerley's going to do it. Fred Kerley's a world champion. 9.86. And the man who switched from 400 meters to 100 silences all of the critics.
The world title for Fred Kerley led a United States sweep in the event. Marvin Bracey taking silver, Trayvon Bramell the bronze. The first sweep for the U.S. men in this event since a year known as 1991, Matt.
Tate, yours sounds vaguely familiar, and I feel like we're on our nostalgia theme here. And this is all part of what's been a pretty amazing last year or so for Fred Kerley. This guy has traditionally excelled in the 400 meters. He won a bronze medal in that event at the World Championships a few years ago in 2019. But last year at Olympic Trials, he dropped that event unexpectedly and entered the 100 meters and 200 meters, reportedly because he was dealing with an ankle injury. Well, that worked out pretty nicely because he went on to win a silver medal in the 100 meters at the Tokyo Olympics. And now, less than a year later, he is a world champion. Wild stuff.
Amazing. And just as Kerley seems to be hitting his peak, we also saw the end for a track and field legend this past weekend as the great Allyson Felix raced for the final time in a major event and picked up a bronze medal in the mixed 4x400 meter relay, her 19th career world championship medal.
Yeah, and you add in the 11 Olympic medals that Felix has won, and that is 30 major championship medals for the 36-year-old who has really been on this stage for as long as a lot of us can remember. Felix made her world championship debut when she was 17 years old in 2003 and has said that this will be her final season.
Yeah, Matt, I suddenly feel very old again.
Yeah, we're going the wrong direction here. All right, let's close things out with some basketball, specifically some summer basketball, but not the NBA Summer League. No, Tate, we're taking this to a high school gym in LA, where it just so happened that on Saturday, LeBron James played in the iconic Drew League for the first time since 2011.
Yeah, that's right. King James returned to a LA staple in the Drew League, which, if you don't know, the Drew League is a pro-am league held every summer in Compton with NBA players regularly participating in its games. We've seen LA locals James Harden and DeMar DeRozan consistently over the last decade, and this past weekend, LeBron delivered just what the fans who camped out all morning had hoped for with a dazzling 42-point, 16-rebound performance as his team hung on to win by two.
Yeah, if anyone out there hasn't checked out the highlights, please treat yourself to the visuals of LeBron throwing down dunk after dunk in an extremely crowded and delirious high school gym. It is a pretty cool sight.
Yeah, the man knew the stage he was on and he delivered. And we should quickly mention also, one person we did not see at the Drew League this weekend was Kyrie Irving, who was apparently supposed to make an appearance as Drew League commissioner Dino Smiley told ESPN, but Kyrie did not show.
Tate, I'm going to level with you. That is a plot twist I simply did not see coming. From Wondery, I'm Matt Straub.
And I'm Tate Frazier. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.